JC Corcoran Podcast.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
If I gave you this Bud Light, are you up for whatever happens next?
Yeah, sure.
Wait, do I have to drink the Bud Light?
Yeah.
Oh, then no.
What? Why?
Because Bud Light tastes like a beer that someone already threw up.
Yeah, it's like a liquid John Mayer song.
Okay, but the thing is, like, it's all about whatever happens next, so if you could...
Yeah, but it tastes like the flat soda that a homeless guy uses to rinse off birds.
Yeah, that's exactly what it tastes like. Yeah.
Okay, look, I'm not supposed to do this, but we have hidden cameras inside of this bar, and when you get outside, there's, like, going to be this huge thing for you if you could just drink this Bud Light.
You mean the beer that tastes like water strained from a gutter full of dog's teeth?
Bud Light tastes like the scared urine of a rabbit.
It's like Steven Seagal's pre-company.
Yeah, but we have like an epic night plan for you.
Okay, listen to me very, very carefully. This is important. If a nickel could urinate, It would taste like Bud Light.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Bud Light tastes like the ghost of a dead lemon.
Basically, if water could just go bad.
We have a stretch limo waiting for you guys outside with Peyton Manning in it, and he's gonna take you to play a game of giant Jenga, okay? And then after that, you're gonna go on one of those Virgin Galactic missions into space.
That sounds amazing. I'm just not gonna do it.
All right, you know what? Just let me drink it.
Okay, what does that taste like? Describe it.
It tastes like if a raccoon ejaculated carbonated vinegar inside of an old log.
That is good.
Yeah. Really nice.
Bud Light, the only beer that makes you up for literally anything else.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
And welcome to the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com for the 7th of July, 2021. And here we go. I spent a good portion of yesterday afternoon with a snake. This is a friend of mine here in St. Louis that has an exotic pet, a little tank, a little aquarium there. And you go up there and he says, would you like to go see the snake? And you go see the snake. The snake, by the way, the snake's name is Chess. And the reason the snake's name is Chess is because the bottom of the snake, the bottom belly part, looks like a pair of Vans waffle snappers. It's just like a checkerboard thing. So you call them Chess. And, you know, I'm... I don't know. I mean, some people aren't afraid of snakes. We fear out of ignorance. And in this particular case, I'm apparently really ignorant because there's nothing wrong with holding a snake and letting a snake sort of wrap itself around your neck. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, to strangle you, suffocate you like a boa constrictor. The snake just likes human contact, apparently. But that sticking that tongue out thing, I don't know. It's just not for me. But my daughter, who's 11 years old, has absolutely spent all of her time while I was visiting this guy yesterday playing with the snake. And after a couple of minutes, you go, okay, I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with it. And then he had the skin that the snake had shed earlier, I guess, I don't know how long ago, but it's just like a clear thing. I hope you're not eating breakfast here today. And one of the reasons I bring this up is because if you think you got a bad neighbor, oh, I got a story for you. A lot of times when I see a story that has its roots overseas, I really just go right through it and don't even read it because, you know, how are you going to verify something like this? But this thing's pretty detailed. This is a 65-year-old guy in Vienna, Austria, was at his apartment on Monday when he sat down on his toilet, felt a pinch, and realized a large snake had bitten him on the junk. His 24-year-old neighbor is a big snake guy and has 11 of them. He thinks one got loose, made its way through the pipes of the building, and came up to the guy's toilet just as he was sitting down. It was an albino reticulated, whatever that means, python, which are native to Asia and can grow up to 30 feet, but they're not poisonous, and luckily this one was only 5 feet long. The guy who got bit was treated for minor injuries. See, if you get bit on the junk, you don't want the word minor involved in all that. Anyhow, his neighbor might face charges for negligence. Well, we got some good news and bad news. If you're a guy, researchers just found a simple procedure that could make men live significantly longer. Like I said, there was some bad news in it because the procedure to make you live longer is castration. Researchers in New Zealand looked at the DNA of male sheep that were castrated and then compared it to the DNA of male sheep that were still intact down there, and they found that castration made their DNA age much more slowly. Previous studies had already found that castration leads to a longer life because you're not bombarded by so many male hormones. An old study in South Korea even found it could help men live up to 19 years longer. But this is the first study that's proven it slows down the aging process in your DNA. The question is it worth it? And I think I can answer that for you pretty darned quickly. Annual study looks at the biggest fast food chains and ranks them according to customer satisfaction by looking at things like food quality, order accuracy, and how nice the employees are. And for the seventh year in a row, Chick-fil-A, number one, followed by Domino's, KFC, Starbucks, Five Guys, Panera Bread, Pizza Hut, and then there's a four-way tie between Arby's, Chipotle, Dunkin', and Papa John's. They looked at the, well, over 20 fast food chains and McDonald's ranked last, just behind Wendy's, Sonic, Popeye's, and Jack in the Box. The only problem with the Chick-fil-A guy is, if you know anything about him, you know he's an idiot. So I guess you got to go back to cooking at home. How would you rate your cooking skills on a 1 to 10 scale? Average American says they're a 6.8, 7 for women, 6.5 for men. The poll also found that 37% of us believe in the 5-second rule, and almost a third of us have used it while cooking. 31% have dropped food on the ground and then used it in a meal anyway. Here's some more stats here. 65% of us like to eyeball it instead of using measuring cups. 58% don't usually follow a recipe. 41% have used a spoon to taste something and then kept using it to mix. 38% of people use dull kitchen knives, who are actually more dangerous than sharp ones. 34% rinse chicken in the sink, which isn't necessary and is actually less sanitary and can cause all kinds of other problems in terms of contamination. 26% of us don't rinse fruits and vegetables. Well, you're really asking for trouble. You know, one of the sources, I guess you would say, I don't know if it is anymore, I know it was for a long time, were those bags of pre-cut lettuce that you can buy. You know, you go in the grocery store and they got those big giant bags, and the lettuce is already sort of, you know, cut up for you, and some cases mixed in with different kinds of lettuce. You know what I'm talking about. And for a long time, people were just assuming that that lettuce was clean and eating it. And that's where like Listeria and some other outbreaks of E. coli and stuff like that were coming from. Like I said, I don't know if they, you know, clean things up, no pun intended, but I know for a long time there they were saying, no, you got to rinse that just because it's in a bag and it looks like it's ready to eat. It really isn't. 23% of Americans have cooked a full meal while drunk or on drugs. 15% of us don't wash hands while cooking. Oh, God. 14% will use the same cutting board for raw meat and then vegetables, which is another way of getting sick. And 8% of us burn things on purpose because we like the taste of burnt things. It is the 7th of July, and we're still playing hockey. The Tampa Bay Lightning host the Montreal Canadiens tonight at 7 o'clock on NBC. Tampa leading 3-1 going into tonight's game. Well, this didn't take long, and if I had the opportunity, as does Colin Jost, a weekend update on Saturday Night Live, he didn't waste any time either. Scarlett Johansson is pregnant. This will be the first child for her and third husband, Colin Jost. But Scarlett also has a kid with her second husband. Fox, as we told you last week, Fox News is starting its own weather channel. That Fox 2 meteorologist, very, very tall, very pretty girl, Bridget Mahoney, is leaving, or probably actually already has left for New York, because she's going to be part of the whole thing. So if you've ever wondered how climate change was caused by Antifa, you're about to find out. A 19-acre plot of land on the Canadian side of Lake Erie is on sale for $99,000. Sounds nice. On the Canadian side of Lake Erie, that's pretty up there. Did I mention that the piece of land, the 19-acre plot of land for $99,000, is presently under water? The sellers say, and this is a quote, it could have endless possibilities in the future. Be creative. End quote. I was having dinner last night with some friends, and we were talking about the one guy in this whole pandemic thing who has been telling the truth and has the science and the knowledge and everything that you need in a situation like this, and that's Fauci. And he's been demonized by a pretty big chunk of this country as the whole pandemic has been politicized, which is really, really stupid. But the reason I bring all this up is because it turns out that viruses can catch viruses. Back in 2008, the first virus that infected other viruses was found in 2008. This is not easy stuff, folks. Just let the scientists do their job, will you please? It's amazing, really, how stupid people are. There's just so much evidence of how stupid people are. The one I like is, well, there's two groups. Fauci lied, or he lies, or Fauci's, look how many times he's been wrong. Look how many times Fauci has been wrong. Well, I believe it was Einstein who said this. And by the way, Einstein, you might recall, was a pretty smart guy. Okay, so maybe we should remember smart things that he said, because maybe it'll help out about now. But, you know, one of the things he said is that about science is that you're not really wrong when new information comes out that contradicts earlier information, because what it is new information. So if he says, okay, this is going to happen, we're pretty sure this is going to happen, then it doesn't happen. Well, you learned something. As a scientist, you learn, oh, look at this. We're learning every day about the, and again, it's not like we have a lot of data to use when we are talking about stuff like this. It's a, you know, it's a new virus. The world has never seen it before. They're not even 100% sure where it came from, let alone what it's going to do. And now you have variants and everything like that. And people with absolutely no scientific background, a lot of times people who, you know, got their GED or something like that are commenting on this. And it's like, just let the smart people talk and let the dumb people, can we just shut them up? I don't have very, very simple solutions to problems this morning. Well, of course, we're down to two Beatles, one of them Paul McCartney, and one turning 81 years old today, and that's Ringo.
It was magical. I mean, there were some really loving, caring moments between four people. A hotel room here and there. A really amazing closeness. Just the four guys who really loved each other was.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the ship. In an octopus's garden. In an octopus's garden.
Well, that was superb.
And we welcome to the show Ringo Starr, who's coming to the fabulous Fox Theater on Tuesday, August 21st. Ringo, thanks very much for being on with us. How are you doing,
thank
man?
Thank you, JC. What was that thing you were playing?
Well, that was actually one of those rare recordings, one of those backtrack kind of bootleg recordings that was actually take two of Octopus's Garden. I think you guys actually used take 31 or take 32. But that was one of those weird little outtakes where you had a little fun with it and just kind of all the talking and everything like that.
It was wonderful. It was such a loving experience.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that song, we have heard that in all of the touring that you've done with the All-Star Band over the years, you've never really performed that song, and there are rumors around that you're going to do some of those songs that you've never done before.
Well, let's keep those rumors flying.
So you're not going to say, you're not going to confirm or
deny? I'm not going to confirm or deny anything.
Whether or not we're going to do Octopus's Garden. Okay, all right. Well,
I've always found it a little awkward because I do Yellow Submarine, so it's sort of the undersea show.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the band, because people are saying, okay, well, Ringo's going to come on stage. Well, it's not just Ringo, man. You got a lot of activity up there. You want to take it from there?
Well, I mean, I'm sure most people have seen the show by now. I've been doing it for 12 years. And, you know, what it's all about is that all the members of the All-Stars have had hits sometime this last century, really, now. And it's like the best 1-800 number show you'll ever see.
All right, so it's going to be Sheila E. on
percussion. Sheila's playing, and, you know, she'll be doing, you know, her songs, and so will Roger Hodgson, and so will Ian Hunter. You know, we'll be getting all the young dudes every night. Greg Lake, of course, you know, Old Lucky Man, and Court of the Crimson King. So everyone will be doing, you know, songs that, you know, people who come or know anything about music will know about.
Okay, we took some phone calls a little while ago from people who said, yeah, well, why don't you ask Ringo this? And one of the first questions we got was, how do you go about, this band has gone through several, you know, different changes and stuff like that. How do you go about deciding who's going to go on tour with you?
Well, we started this, you know, how this started was I wanted to go on tour, but I didn't want to, like, just front it for hours. I wanted to have a lot of friends around me so I could have fun as well playing their songs. And so now what happens is we've, you know, if I decide, okay, let's, you know, this is the fourth year on the run. It was supposed to be 1 year on, 1 year off, but now I've just got too excited. This is the fifth year on the run. I mean, you know, people phone in, people say, hey, are you going out this year?
Wait a minute. You're trying to tell me, like take the 15th caller? It's like a radio station contest?
What? Yeah. Yeah. Anyone who phones in is in the band.
15th caller gets in Ringo's band.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
So, you know, and or management calls or I sit around saying, oh, that guy would be great. Let's see if he's free for the summer. And, you know, it's a progress of elimination, really, till we get down to, you know, several people who are interested, and then what sort of combination can we have? And then we just say, okay, this is the one.
All right, now we're going to ask a question here that you may not get all day, but believe it or not, we actually had a little spirited discussion about it earlier, and it has to do with your appearance on PBS, because it's Shining Time Station. You play the conductor, Ringo. George Carlin had the job for a while. Alec Baldwin, I guess, was the most recent.
He did the movie.
Yeah, he did, right. So what's the history of that?
Well, the history of that was in 1984, Britt Allcroft, the producer of the show, was a very small show in England called Thomas the Tank Engine and Friends, where I just read the stories. And then, of course, it came to America and turned into that half-hour show, Shining Time Station. And I did it up to 1989. And it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, I feel an empathy with children. And, you know, I just felt this would be a nice thing to do. That's the deal.
You didn't have, I mean, people who know the history of Ringo Starr know that you didn't have the brightest, cheeriest, sunshiniest childhood, so that actually makes a lot of sense, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that are kind of going on with music right now. We got this whole Napster controversy, and a matter of fact, the courts just came down yesterday and said that they're going to open Napster back up. Pretty much every...
Well, they're opening Napster back up, aren't they? Because they've decided to pay some royalties.
So where do you stand on this? When they weren't paying royalties, were you the kind of guy who would say, no, they're taking my music and they're getting it for free, or were you on the other side of the line?
No, I wasn't really saying that about me, because I'm doing okay. But I was saying it for the other artists who, you know, are struggling out there, and it was taken away from them. So, you know, we have to put something back and something behind the new guys who are struggling out there, you know, to make a living. And, you know, I know everybody felt that, oh, well, it's, you know, students are just downloading. Well, hey, students are people, too.
And by the way, speaking of you doing okay, people have seen your television commercial for a famous investment house.
Yeah.
You're doing kind of a rehearsal with the band looking for words that rhyme and all that. It brings up the obvious question. I'm sure you have been approached millions of times over the last 30-so-odd years for people who wanted you to be a product spokesman. Why did you do this one, and what are some of the other ones? Maybe you don't need to necessarily name them by company.
Well, I do them because what is happening on that year, I felt it was a fun project, and that's it. And, of course, they look after me.
And what things have you turned down over the years? And people said, oh, we'd love to have you be our product spokesman.
No, I'm not telling you.
Okay.
I'm not telling you.
So we're not getting anything on Octopus's Garden or on things that we turned down.
You're not getting anything from me this morning.
Yeah. on a more somber note, there was news about, I guess it was 10 days, 2 weeks ago, about the health situation pertaining to George Harrison. Now, George's sister lives just about a few miles from where we are right now here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And met her on several occasions. As a matter of fact, we did the 1964 show, the Beatles kind of tribute band. And have you spoken to George, or have you spoken to anybody in his camp? Do you know anything about his health condition?
No, I saw George 2 weeks ago. And the news that came out was very late. And, you know, George is in good spirits, and he's recovering. And that's the end of it.
And so it sounds like maybe the story was a little bit sensationalized.
It always is.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they always... They can't help themselves. They go over the top.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about new music. I guess, you know, you sit here and people want to hear your famous songs. They want to hear Photograph, and they want to hear Don't Come Easy, and they want to hear all the stuff that you guys are going to be doing at the Fox Theater on the 21st of August here in St. Louis. Are you leaning towards anything new these days, or are you going to be putting out a new album?
No. Right now, I'm just doing the show. We're rehearsing right now. We'll do the tour, and then I'll see what happens next.
And people might not necessarily understand that because it seems like... because everybody who goes out on tour pretty much is promoting something new.
I'm promoting a good time in the summer.
As odd as that may seem, yeah. And when people who aren't, you know, standing in front of a microphone, just some guy runs into you at the airport or something like that, is there something that, in general, just across the boards, people seem to want to ask you about or tell you about? Or is there any kind of one standard comment that you seem to get more than others?
Well, a lot of musicians say the Ed Sullivan Show changed their life. a lot of people just have a story. You know, I was at this show, I was that show. You know, I know somebody who doesn't really know you.
And the rest is history.
You know what I mean? Everybody has a story.
Okay, so we've got Sheila E., Roger Hodgson of Supertramp, Greg Lake from ELP, Howard Jones, Ian Hunter, Mata Hoople, and Mark Rivera, by the way, Billy Joel's band, the horn player, musical director.
Yeah, well, Billy vacillates between Billy... I mean, Mark vacillates between Billy and me. If Billy's out, Mark's out. And if I'm out, Mark's out.
And if you want to find out if Ringo's going to sing Octopus's Garden,
you got to go to the show.
You buy a damn ticket, you sit down, and you wait like everybody else.
JC, I'm on my way.
All right, Ringo, thank you very much. We'll see you on Tuesday, August 21st at the Fabulous Fox Theater. Thanks
fabulous
very much.
Fabulous Fox Theater, August the 21st.
Okay.
I'll be there. Don't miss it.
See you later.
You know, you have to be so careful with somebody like Ringo Starr who has been asked every imaginable question there is 150,000 times. We like to believe, as interviewers, hosts of radio shows, whatever it is you want to call this, that we're going to come up with that one thing that they've never heard before. And if you've been listening to me interview people down through the last 3.5 decades since I arrived in St. Louis, you know from hearing that people will sometimes hear a question that I asked and it'll stop them dead in their tracks and they'll say, wow, that's a good question. Or in some cases, I've never been asked that before. That's not going to happen with Ringo Starr. No matter how many times you try, you know, one of the most recognizable, famous people in the world who isn't just being interviewed by somebody in St. Louis, they're being interviewed by somebody in India and then Russia and then London and then South America and then, you know, all over the place. There's no such thing as a question that somebody like Ringo Starr has never been asked before. It just doesn't happen. But we like to try. Speaking of questions, talk about the dumbing down of America. So I'm watching a ball game the other night and this commercial comes out, a promo comes on for College Bowl, the resumption, or I guess you would say the reworking of College Bowl. Now, if you are of a certain age, you can remember back in the 1960s, I remember these shows being in black and white, and Alan Ludden, Betty White's husband at the time, the guy who did Password, Alan Ludden was the host, and you would have these brainiacs from, you know, from Villanova, and they have, you know, three guys sitting there, and they'd be up against like three other schools. And they'd be asking them questions about, you know, nuclear physics and obscure dates in history and scientific and political and other kinds of achievements. And you would just sit there and go, you know, you could watch Jeopardy. And you get some of the answers once in a while because oftentimes the answer is buried in the clue itself. All right. Well, in College Bowl, they didn't do that. They found like three of the smartest kids from most of the time, Ivy League schools. and they would slap them up there and really, really ask difficult questions that you could be watching the show. You know, there's a great scene in the movie Diner where Kevin Bacon, who is sort of just trying to be one of the wacky boys in his neighborhood, it turns out he's watching College Bowl by himself at his house, and he knows all the answers to all the questions because as soon as Alan Ludwig asked the question, he would just mumble it to himself like, oh, you know, 1862. And then we say, well, you know, 1862, Alan? That's right. You've won College Bowl. All right. And that's what a show like that is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a display of almost, you know, superhuman intelligence. Well, College Bowl is coming back, and like everything else in the world today, and certainly in this country, it's coming back as junk because now the show is being hosted by Peyton Manning, and sure enough, they bring in the really, really smart kids from the various schools, but the questions are about trivia. And in the, even in the promo, it's like, is the answer Lady Gaga? You know, that sort of stuff. Everything had to do with, you know, something from pop culture or, you know, hip-hop music or the Kardashians or crap like that. And it's just another sign of the apocalypse. Besides, over-concentrating on trivial stuff, show business, junk knowledge, that's my fucking job. Back off. All right, Megyn Kelly getting her own satellite show on satellite radio. She says it's going to be a lot better than her time at NBC. We'll see. She keeps getting chances. It's amazing. Sharon Stone reportedly dating a 25-year-old rapper. She is 63, by the way. David Schwimmer hated working with a monkey on the first season of Friends, but the guy who trained it says he was just jealous. Here's the quote. People would laugh at the monkey, and I think he got jealous because it wasn't him getting the laughs. End quote. And I like stories like this because, you know, I just mentioned Lady Gaga a minute ago. You know, before you become Lady Gaga, you're not Lady Gaga. You're like everybody else. You're a struggling entertainer, broke usually, trying to get your music heard, trying to become famous, whatever the case may be. But if you go back even farther than that, now you're looking at, you know, what somebody was like when they were 16, 17 years old. For example, Gwen Stefani worked at Dairy Queen. Dwayne The Rock Johnson was a dishwasher at a pizza parlor. Brad Pitt handed out flyers for El Pollo Loco. We heard that story a long time ago down there in Springfield, yeah. Kanye West folded shirts at The Gap. Nicki Minaj was a waitress at Red Lobster. Margot Robbie worked at Subway. Whoopi Goldberg worked as a morgue beautician. Melissa McCarthy was a Starbucks barista. Matthew McConaughey exterminated armadillos for a golf course. Tom Cruise was a bellhop at a hotel. Jennifer Aniston worked as a telemarketer selling timeshares. Eva Longoria worked at Wendy's, and there's a lot more of these if you hit up the website buzzfeed.com. All right, in addition to Ringo having birthday 81 today, Jim Gaffigan is 55. Shelley Duvall, Jack Nicholson's wife in The Shining, 72. Doc Severinsen, the band leader on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show for 25 years. He retired when Johnny did. He's 94 years old today. Styx released The Grand Illusion on this date 44 years ago. Tom Green married Drew Barrymore. Hard to tell who was goofier in that situation. They were together. They filed for divorce 6 months later. And one of the best stories, one of those rock and roll stories that will just live on in infamy. 53 years ago today, 1968, the Yardbirds performed their final concert. Their breakup was 3 years after Eric Clapton quit and 8 months after Jeff Beck left the group. Jimmy Page had a full concert obligation, so he formed a new group and called it the New Yardbirds, and that's when Keith Moon said, quote, it'll probably go over like a Led Zeppelin, end quote. And so with that, Jimmy Page changed the name of his group to Led Zeppelin Rock and Roll. Stories coming from JC today. And Ann Wilson from Heart kicks off a solo tour on August 14th in Alexandria, Virginia. I will go see her. Oh, my gosh. She, you know, her concerts now, her solo stuff, is fantastic. She played the boat down in South County a couple of years ago. We saw her there, and wow, was she good. You know, and she does a lot of heart songs, but she also covers. They did some Yes songs that were just amazing. I mean, she really, really sounds good. Can she hit the notes she hit when she was 25? Of course not. She's pushing 70 years old, but she's sounding awfully, awfully good these days. All right, we're back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock sharp with another J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jconline.com. But that does it for the 7th of July, 2021. Continue to help us out. I can't tell you how important this is and how much I appreciate that you're spreading the word that this podcast is here every day at jconline.com. Continue to tell everybody you know. Stop strangers on the street, and we will talk to you again tomorrow morning bright and early. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.